Latter-day Saint Home Educators is pleased to bring you this audio presentation recorded live during the May 2022 Home Education Conference held in Orem, Utah.
I turned to him just say? Now think about what I said to you. Now, the reason I share that story is because I want this session to do something special. I'm a little bit of a dreamer, and I'm hoping it can have something magical happen between parent and youth. I'm a believer that there's not a single youth in the world, maybe some of you know one, but there's not a single youth in the world who wakes up in the morning and says this: yeah, I'm pretty much hoping I will be a complete failure. Like, I hope my life doesn't amount to much, and I'm actually quite confident that my best thing that could happen is that I disappoint my parents. Any youth on that train? Like, I was like really nervous to say, raise your hand, like one kid's like, yep. No, right? Every youth in the world wants to grow up, be successful, good-looking, drive a nice car, like, buy things with real money that they earned on their own, like, have moments where people kiss each other. Like, they want this thing called success. Every youth that ever existed wants it. Now, on the other hand, every parent that ever existed, this one actually is harder for me to say, isn't that sad? Every parent that ever existed looks at their children and they say, I want them to be successful and happy, for them to have money that they buy their own things with, where they drive around on their own, and that they someday kiss someone and all is happy in their family life. Like, I want all of that for my kids. And yet, for some reason, the kids were like, I want to go be successful and happy and good-looking. Oh, wait, check on one already. I'm already good-looking, right? And then the parents, on the other hand, are saying, I want the same thing. And yet, for so many days and so many moments, parents and youth sometimes disagree. Is that true? Don't raise your hand on that one. It's like, yes, my mom and I argue all the time. It's actually one of our favorite hobbies. But we somehow aren't 100% on the same page. And so my goal today is I want to be a little bit of a fat man for you. And I want to wake you up. Like, it used to be a funnier joke when I was skinny, but now I'm kind of fat. And so it's like, I am a fat man. But I want to be a little bit of a fat man for you, and I want to wake you up and have you have this moment of, like, connection where you go, let's get on the same page. Like, where the youth go, hey, mom, dad, I'm moving to Belize. And the parents are like, great. All right. Amen. All right. So I turn to the man, right? And there he is sitting in my car, gallon of milk in hand. And I turn to him and I just go, this isn't my car. And it wasn't even close. It wasn't the same make, it wasn't the same model, it wasn't in the near my car. There was nothing about this car that this poor fat man was sitting in that was like my car. There was zero correlation. My brainlessness simply took me to the first car in the parking lot. I know I went to get in and drive it home. Now, the problem is, for those of you who made a mistake like that, you now have to make the walk of shame to your car, because this poor man is thinking he's getting carjacked by a guy with a gallon of milk. And what was so funny, I said, this isn't my car, and then I just closed the door, right? Like, I'm going to go back. I walk down. I get in my car. I get in my car, and I peek my head up to see the man, right? Because I'm like, maybe he's calling the police. He's saying, I don't know. I'm like freaking out. I'm so embarrassed. He turns to me, and to his immortal credit, if I could ever find this guy, I would thank him, because it made the story so much better. And he turns to me, and he just goes like this. We lock eyes. He looks at me, and I'm like, ugh. And then he just goes, good job, buddy. Happy for that fat man. He was so great. And so today, my goal is to give you, again, a little bit of a jolt, hopefully wake you out of any stupor you might be in. And just sometimes, in some cases, our relationships can be in a bit of a stupor, where we are going through the motions together in the same house, but we're not having some really powerful, meaningful experience together. And my goal is to turn that on today, the very best I know how. Fair enough? If that sounds good, can I get an amen? Yeah! Man, someday, President Nelson's so progressive. I'm just thinking one day maybe he'll be like, hey, it's okay to make noise in sacrament meeting. I don't know if that's crazy, but that would be so. Okay. As was mentioned in my introduction, for the last 6 years, I've been focused on helping people to identify, articulate, and accomplish their personal dreams. So I mentioned this in an earlier session. I'm kind of like a corporate fairy godmother. People would walk up to me. They would say, my dream is to go to Japan. My dream is to ask this boy to date. My dream is to, etc. And then I would help them. We would figure it out together, okay? And it was a really miraculous seat to sit in. You can imagine that, right? Like sitting in the seat where people show up and they just tell me their dreams. It was so transformational. And today I want to teach you as much as I can about dreaming in as short amount of period as possible. And then we're going to dream together. All right? Was that okay? Can I get an amen? All right. All right, so that's what we're going to do. I still don't know if that's heresy or not. I'm like trying to figure it out. All right, so really quickly, I'm going to teach you a couple of things about dreaming. In order for me to teach you about what dreaming is, I first have to teach you what dreaming is not. Okay? What dreaming is not. All of us, biologically, natural man-wise, we have a tendency to live rather boring and humdrum lives. It happens naturally. We don't mean to do it. It just is our kind of way of being. Do you know how I can tell that you're destined to be boring? I feel like saying, you're basic. You know, no, it's not that. But does that make sense? So we all are following these consistent patterns. We all are constantly predicting the future. Have you ever noticed that? How do we know we're predicting the future? Because you can be surprised. So if I like threw this marker and hit you right in the face, would you be surprised? Yes, because she had a projection of the future and what it was going to be. And it wasn't speaker throw marker. If it were speaker throw marker, she would have worn like headgear, like maybe a helmet or something. You'd be like, I'm no big deal. These speakers throw markers all the time. I'm prepared for it, right? But because we can be surprised, it's an evidence that we're constantly predicting what's coming next, what's around the corner, what's around the bend. What do we base our predictions of the future on? The past. So we're constantly saying, hey, I think the future is going to be something like the past. Okay? And so we look back in our past and we say, what do we usually have for dinner? And then we will tend to act according to our prediction of the future. So we then go, all right, what do we usually have for dinner? What do you guys usually have for dinner?
Leftovers.
So we usually have how is that perpetual? That's a little confusing. It's like, I don't know how it works, but the fridge just keeps producing leftovers. So we constantly predict the future. We then act according to our prediction. And then it reinforces our past behavior, meaning the future turns out much like the past. Does that kind of make sense? We're a little like the deer who wanders to water, and if it doesn't die on the trip, it will wander back home. Which path will it take the next day? The same path, over and over and over and over again. And what is it optimizing for? Is it optimizing for the easiest, most convenient path? It's optimizing for safety. It's optimizing for survival. It's essentially saying, don't die, don't die, don't die, don't die, don't die. And then it turns to its little deerlet, and it's like, hey, this is the path. Is that what they call them, deerlets? No, that's all right. Fawns. I think we go with deerlets. Anyone else? Ready to go? Deerlets it is. So we turn to the deerlets, and the little deerlets are like, don't leave the path. The path is the way. It's the only safe way in order for us to survive. Does that make sense? So I call that path that we create, and by the way, for those of you who know anything about neurology, it's similar And our brain patterns are developed over time where we follow the same kind of patterns of thinking over and over again. I call that, just to be dramatic, I call it the rut. Just like the path is a little divot in the ground created as we constantly trample down the foliage, over time we fall into familiar patterns and ruts. Would you agree?
Yes.
Yes. So we have this moment where we fall into these familiar patterns and ruts. By the way, some of them are inherited that are that old, right? So when I was, like, turn to your parents and say, shame on you for giving me your rut. Yeah. So when I was young, my dad believed deeply that the only type of car to purchase was a fuel-efficient foreign four-door sedan. He was, like, religious about it. He believed that gas mileage was the ultimate measurement of car success. Any of you grew up in a home like that, where that was the way that cars were thought of? And so when I went out to the lot to buy my very first car, what car do you think I bought? A Honda Civic. Yep. Four-door, foreign, good gas mileage. And I showed up with that car, and I showed it to my dad. My dad went, sensible choice, young man. And what was I optimizing for, really? Survival. Like, essentially, my dad had somehow communicated, if you don't buy this car, there's something dangerous about that. And I inherited that belief, and I became like my dad that way. Now, it's one of the great sadnesses, by the way, youth, listen to this. Your parents constantly are a little sad because they look at you and they're like, oh no, you're sort of like me. And then sort of like, oh, dang. And other ways, by the way, they also look at you and go, oh, you're sort of like me, right? You're so awesome, right? And so, like, there's this constant thing about this inheritance of a little bit of a rut. So to dream, then, if this is our normal day-to-day, some people call it a comfort zone. Have you ever heard that phrase, comfort zone? Thank you, Hiram. Hiram, 10 points for Gryffindor. He is by far killing the rest of the youth in enthusiasm. Okay, so the idea of a comfort zone is kind of another way of saying it. I don't really love the term comfort zone because at the end of the day, have you ever met anyone who's completely uncomfortable in their comfort zone? Someone is like, I hate my life. And you're like, why don't you change your life? And they're like, well, I hate changing my life more than I hate my life, right? And they're just miserable in their comfort zone. And you're like, hey, maybe we should do some things. So really what our bias is towards the familiar, not towards the safe, not towards the best, not towards the most righteous, not towards the most happy. We're really biased in some significant ways towards the familiar. Does that make sense? Yeah. And that bias, is that good or bad? Let me hear from the youth first. Good or bad? Thumbs up if you think it's good, thumbs down if you think it's bad. All right, I have a lot more thumbs down than I have anything else. And then the back, I have some sideways thumbs, which I really appreciate because you're just rebels without a cause. I love that. And I think you're probably right. There are good parts of this phenomenon. It's very healthy and normal for us to have moments where there are routines and rhythms and patterns and traditions, and those are very healthy and help with our sanity. We have some decisions we've already made. So, for example, I don't have to make every decision every morning. It's not like I wake up in the morning. I go to the mirror and I'm like, should I wear clothes today? I don't know. Like, I know everybody else is wearing clothes, but what if... Like, we don't have that problem, right? Like, we have some traditions that are very healthy. In what ways is it bad? What ways does it disadvantage us? Yeah?
In some ways, makes it harder for us to change.
In some ways, that's a beautiful answer. 10 points to Hufflepuff? Okay, 10 points to Gryffindor. He said, in some ways, it makes it harder for us to change. I think that's a brilliant way of saying it. And so to dream then, oh, she wants points. Hermione, put your hand down, all right? I'm just kidding. You're so nice. You're not. So to dream then is simply to consider out here, outside of our normal, outside of the rut, outside of the things that happen all the time, are all of the other things All of the other possible things. How many possible things are there that aren't a part of our reps? Infinite number of things. And to dream is to identify some of those things and to put them on our menu of possibilities that are interesting to us. Okay? And some might be really hard, like really almost impossible to believe. And others are like right here within our grasp. Like one of my dreams is to read The Hobbit. Somebody just gave me the look like, we can't be friends anymore if you haven't read The Hobbit. Like, how dare you? And other dreams, right, are like huge, generational dreams. Like to transform the way that the employee-employment relationship works. To help thousands of people accomplish, like, big things, right? Does that make sense? Now, there are a couple criteria. I'll do them really quickly, and then we can get to work. The first criteria is it has to be desirable. It has to be something that lights you up, something that you want deeply. Now, here we come to our first crossroads between parents and youth. Moms and dads, not all of your dreams are desirable for your youth. Let me repeat. Moms and dads, not all of your dreams are desirable for your youth. Does that make sense? So I remember I was sitting in this conference once, and this guy came to our company. He was hired as a developer. And we had this tradition where where at the end of 2 weeks after we hired you, we would pay you $5,000 to leave because we wanted you to stay. We wanted you to be committed. And if $5,000 would lure you away, then we wanted you to leave at that point instead of wasting our time. And we had this developer that came through, went through our two-week onboarding course, and got to the end. And we said, hey, we'll pay you $5,000 to leave. We have the weekend to think about it. He came back on Monday. He said, I'll take the $5,000. We said, tell us more about that. And he simply said, my mom and dad were developers. We were just a developer family. And so I inherited that dream. I hate it. And so this is my chance to go back to school and try something else. And it wasn't the parent. Like, there's no one at fault here, right? There's nobody to blame. But sometimes we as parents can accidentally communicate, my dream should be your dream. Now, you'll come to find out in a minute that oftentimes they are. Have you ever noticed that? Where your son or daughter's like, do you know what I've always wanted to do? I've always wanted to skydive. Any skydivers in the room that want to skydive? That's on your list? All right. Now, I'm looking for a parent-child combo that could go skydiving. Yes! Back there, skydiving trip when you turn 18, that could be awesome. But you'll also notice that there were a lot of youth who said skydiving, and their moms kind of instinctually got the space like, don't you? Don't even, how does this person in the front of the room even suggest such a thing? No, right? And so we got to be a little careful because it has to be desirable. It has to light you up. My favorite moment in almost the history of my dreaming career, it's a weird thing to say, dreaming career, but I had this woman come up to me, and she was probably, it's hard to guess, really gray-haired, a little wrinkly, so I'm guessing, you know, what am I? I'm guessing like in her late 60s, and she came up to me, and she looked like, make the face that you make like the first time you noticed you had a crush on someone. No one moved their faces. but she had that face. She had this face like, walked up to me, and she's like, I have a dream, and can I share it with you? And it was, she was lit up about it. That's how dreams should feel. And too often, by the way, dreams, people would come into my office, and they would sit down, and they'd say, my dream is to, and they didn't light up. And that's when I knew. I'm like, you need to try again. Because dreams are supposed to make you feel the feels inside. And when you think about them, they're supposed to be like a crash. That's my only description. It's like, oh. Now, not all dreams will make you feel that way, right? There's some more deep, meaningful dreams that will make you want to cry. But all of them have this deep, desirable impact. I want them. Okay? Does that make sense? Like the common ones, by the way, the number one that people would come in with that wasn't desirable, do you know what it was? Any guesses? Lose weight. Lose weight. They would come in and say, I want to lose weight. And I'm like, no, you don't. Do you know how I know? Because losing weight is miserable. It's the worst thing ever. If you have to stop eating all the good things, you have to sweat more, it's awful, right? I'm just kidding. It's not necessarily that. But does that make sense? They were talking about the journey, not the destination, and the journey sometimes hard. Okay? So the first criteria is the dream has to be desirable. It has to be what?
Desirable.
Remember, the second thing the dream has to be is it has to live in language. You have to give it words. So I was sitting in a session like this. I said, what's your dream? Someone raised their hand and said, it was a youth, of course it was. But the youth said, my dream is to drive a tank. And I looked at him like, drive a tank? Drive a tank. And I was like, me too. Like, I don't want to like be in war or fight, but if you pulled up in a tank right now and you're like, hey, man, you want to drive? I would say yes. Any other people that say yes to that dream? Yes, like, yeah. Think straight, let's go do it. By the way, I did find out there's a place in Texas that allows you to drive tanks, so if anyone wants to join me. Does that make sense? So the second one is absolutely language, and the funny thing is, drive a tank. Where was that dream before I heard the words? It was somewhere in me, somewhere in my subconscious, there was this desire I had that I had not yet identified. And so one of the things I'm going to recommend in a minute is to make a list of dreams. To make a list of as many dreams as you can think of, I usually recommend starting with at least 100. Now for some of you that's very easy, and for others you're like panic thinking about 100. 100 feels like a lot. By the way, usually, not always, youth are better at this game than adults. Why are youth better? She said, because we're younger and our brains are more fresh. That's actually pretty profound, a little bit. Why else? Our brains have less limitations because we're younger, which is like a very scary comment for all the parents in the room. Like the moment where my daughter's like, all right, I'm pretty sure that this plastic bag will act like a parachute when I jump off the stairs. And it's true that there's some fewer limitations. We have more life ahead of us. You guys are about to die. We're not about to die, and so we're better. That's so good. It's so good. And there's a little bit of truth in it, by the way. It's a little bit of truth, and you got to be careful as adults to start, like, turning the corner too soon where you're like, yeah, I'm pretty much the good parts of my life are done. There's some truth to that, right? Like, I kept telling my wife, sweetheart, I'm going to be at my physical prime when I'm 45. That's why I don't work out right now. I don't want to peak too early. You know? Okay? So, desirable has to live in language. Make sense? Okay. Where's my marker? All right. So, just two more things and then we're going to get it. Okay. What happens to the rut if I go out and I accomplish dreams? What happens to the rut?
It grows.
It grows. Yeah. It gets bigger. The things that, and then if I go out for this one again, it gets bigger again. And my horizon, what's familiar to me, is expanded. And what is what I feel confidence in is expanded. We talk about the idea of building confidence. To me, one of the greatest ways to build confidence is to encourage dreaming and dream fulfillment, dream pursuit, and dream fulfillment. Why? Well, for this reason. Because I look around and I'm like, oh, I was a little bit nervous about that. I went out and did it, and I left the path a little, and look it, I didn't die. And isn't that awesome? Does that make sense? Now, the next question I have is, and by the way, what happens to this dream, So it's kind of far out there, the further out I get. It gets closer and closer and less impossible. Have you had moments of this like this in your life? Look at your mom or dad and said, have you had that experience before where something that seemed nearly impossible has come about? Turn to your mom and dad and ask. I hear more yeses than noes. That's good. It's like someone in the audience, I'm looking for my 13-year-old boys. Where are my 13-year-old boys? Like, you know how someday you have a dream of kissing a girl? Someday it will happen, and it's awesome. Okay? Does that make sense? We expand our horizons over and over again. Now, here's my last little commentary before we move on. If I take that journey, if I go from here, and I go from dream to dream to dream, and I each time expand outside of my familiar zone with my being, what changes would you expect in the person who goes down that journey, who follows that path? What do you think? How would that person change? They get braver. I love that. Yeah, there's a little bit more willingness to face a fear or confront like a prevailing assumption and move forward. What else? You feel more fulfilled. Yes. I'm telling you, it's true. Like, there are moments in my life where I'm like, dude, I have a pretty awesome life. This is pretty great. Like, here I am. I traveled up here to be with you guys. I get to teach. I get to speak. And you're like, feel all these good, fulfilling feelings. I love that. Yes. What else?
You feel like you could do even more.
You feel like you could do even more. We call that confidence or belief or, you know, self-confidence. We believe we could do even more. And that also seems true where people accomplish dreams and they get to the end and they're like, that wasn't even that hard. What's next? You feel more you. I love that. By the way, I know there's like a sentiment where parents are like, let's let the youth have. I would really love to hear from the parents too, by the way. So don't hold back to like give the youth their due. They're capable of giving their own attention here. So feel free to share. Yeah.
You become more interesting.
You become more interesting. This is a true story. I had a leader once who I was working with, a CEO, who said, do you know what I love? I love hiring well-traveled people because they're just more interesting. They're more dynamic. They're more settled. They have broader perspective. I like hiring well-traveled people. Yeah, I forgot your name. Yeah.
Oh, Marissa,
I don't know that I know, but go ahead.
No, especially in adults, you can really notice who the dreamers are because they're just vibrant and full of energy and life.
Oh. I just know there was this little feeling of like, wah-wah. Won't be me, always tired. There is some truth to that, but I'll give you a little caution there. Is dreaming easy? Dream pursuit easy? No, are dreamers often tired? Yes, but there is a little glimmer. I know what you mean. There's a little glimmer of purpose and intention and drive and hope, right? They're not like moping in despair. And it is visible when you see it. I think that's really important to recognize. Some things start changing and evolving, not just in the area of dream pursuit, but in periphery areas in which we weren't even working. Have you experienced that, adults? Like, raise your hands so your youth know. Like, yeah, we've experienced this. As I would chase something hard, other areas of my life improving it better. Okay? So if all of those benefits are true, if all of those benefits are true, and by the way, they're the benefits, like how many of you... Raise your hand if those benefits are interesting to you. You go, yeah, I want that. Raise them high like you're ashamed of yourself. Good. All right. Adults, how many of you want that for your youth? Yeah. We're in agreement. We both want this benefit, this progress and opportunity. Okay? Now, if all the benefits are there, why don't we chase dreams more often? What is this line made of? All right, say it together in unison.
Fear.
Fear. It's made of fear. Just like the deer who doesn't want to wander off the path, we're just scared. Now let me ask, who do you think is more scared? You or your mom? Now, that's interesting, right? Like, your mother, I talked to you about this a little bit earlier. They worry about you. They fret over you. You are, in so many ways, their world. Like, just turn to your mother, look her in the eyes, and say, Mom, I had no idea you loved me that much. Ready, set, go. They love you. They love you. By the way, dads love you too, but kind of like me. They love you. I'm just kidding about the dad comment. You may not be as good at communicating it, but they also really love you. And periodically, they even like you, right? And so, like, you have to know that about your parents. They're so, they care about you so much. When you hurt, they hurt. When you suffer, they suffer. And so when you go to do something that's outside of the familiar zone for the family, they feel the fear too. Can I just, like, comment on that? And like was said earlier, back here in this corner by this wonderful person, who said, and they are usually a little smarter, so they probably have better insight into all the potential consequences that might happen. Meaning they can create better boogeymen than you. They're better at it because they know what could happen. And they read newspapers that talk about bad things happening. Some of you don't. Thank you, bless you, if you know it. Right? Okay. And so every time your mom or your dad says, oh, that's scary to me, no, that's another way of them saying what? I love you. So all of that being said, it's time for us to dream. Okay? So if you do have a pen and paper in front of you, it works best. If you don't have a pen and paper in front of you, turn to your neighbor and borrow one if you can. We're going to do our very best to have everyone be in that spot. And what I'm going to invite you all to do is I'm going to invite you to make a list of dreams. Now, during this period, I'm hoping you're willing to follow the rules. The rule is that we need as much silence as possible. Because even if you're not going to take this super seriously, I don't want to make eye contact when I say that, but if someone wasn't like, not really into this, if you please honor the fact that some people might actually have a moment here where they write down something. I did this last weekend, and there's someone in this room who wrote down a dream and has fulfilled it since last weekend. Isn't that cool? Like, literally, she was like, all right, I'm going to start writing down things that are desirable but not familiar or normal or comfortable for me, and I'm going to get some courage, and I'm going to go chase one down. And she wrote it down, and she came up to me today, and she said, Dan, you'll never believe what happened. I did it. And she had this great look of fulfillment and confidence on her face, and she's awesome. Now, let's give her that, the kudos. I won't point her out. Now, I'm going to give you a little taste of this, but it works best if you go home and you spend more time on this. Now, I'm really nervous about something. I'm nervous that the moms will get so excited about this, and they'll go home and they'll be like, kids, we're dreaming. Sit down. And the kids are like, but Mom, I need to go to the bathroom. And they're like, no bathrooms, dream only, right? They would never do that. I'm exaggerating. But really, think about youth. Let me just talk to you for just 1 second. He's walking out in the middle of my youth. No, youth, let me talk to you for just 1 second. This is yours. This isn't theirs. It can't be. This is yours. And you have the person sitting beside you who most in the world wants you to be happy and wants you to grow and wants you to feel confidence But as much as they can't dream for you. They can't. It's not where dreams come from. Wouldn't that be great? If I could dream for you, I'd be like, my dream is that you all dream about giving me money. Implants, implants, implants. Most of it just flies. Doesn't work that way, right? No matter how hard we try, as parents, implant dreams, we can't. This is yours. Alright? Is it good? It's funny? Alright, we'll accept it. You're going to give me money? Oh my goodness, it works. My dream is giving up. Alright, so I want you to start a list. My goal is for you to get to 10. We're going to try to get to 10. And I'm going to give some prompts. The only rule, again, is we're going to keep kind of quiet. Youth, it is natural for your parents to really, really want to peek at your paper. And that's okay. Alright, just be cool with that for a minute. Ready, set, go. Alright, there's a great question. She said, how do you differentiate dreams from goals? Right now, we're not going to. I could give you a longer answer, but right now, if it's a dream, it's a goal, it doesn't matter. Put it all in. And then in a minute after, I can explain that. So, okay, some prompts. Prompt number one. If I was wealthier than I thought, and everyone gave me Venmo money, and I could give you $10,000 cash, but only on the condition you spent it on something frivolous, something that you wanted, what would you buy? If I had a jet and I could fly you anywhere in the world, and we could just go, where would you go? Write it down, write it down, write it down. If you could do one bit of good in the world, if you could change lives in one particular way, how would you change lives? If you could meet one person, one famous, cool person, and have like lunch with them, who would it be? If you could go to the like attributes store and buy a new attribute, like buy hardworking, or buy kind, or buy funny, which attributes would you buy? Like one of my dreams is to be more chill. I'm like really like go, 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 go. So my wife and I aren't very fun, and we're like, we should set a goal to be more fun. And by setting a goal to be more fun, we automatically lost at being more fun. it's very meta. But it's on my list. Be more fun. Youth especially, if you could get paid to do something you loved, what would it be? If you could get paid to do something you loved, what would it be? Just right. And again, I'm giving you some prompts, but it really doesn't need to fit in any of those boxes. Try to dream bigger. Try to stretch out. I remember the first time I made my list, I wrote down, make $40,000 in a month. And then I was like, since I'm dreaming, make $400,000. Make $4 million, right? But just playing around. This is one of the reasons that youth may be better at dreaming, is because they're more willing to enter the land of fiction and imagination and make-believe. And we as adults have kind of, we lost our touch with that a little bit. And so allow yourself, adult, to write something down that you think is totally unrealistic. Like, kind of like, I don't even know why I bring it up. I want to rent a yacht with all of my kids and grandkids and go sailing around the Mediterranean. Just go ahead and borrow it, parents. It would be awesome. And I don't know if that could ever happen for me. I don't know if I ever actually value that at the cost it would, the expense it would be, but it's on the list. That's okay. All right, now parents, I just feel that I don't want one person is this way. I know that we're talking a lot about youth streams. This is also about you chasing your dreams. Like, don't pass this off to your kids. This principle applies to you 100%. So I know that sometimes we are in sessions like this and we go, yeah, isn't this great? My kids are learning all this. If that's where the space you're at, just shift over one lane and be like, okay, if I'm going to have dreaming normalized in my family, seems what probably the best way for that to happen would be for me to start doing, like, for me to go skydiving. And that would be a cool moment for a mom to be jumping out of an airplane and her kids on the ground going, mom's going to die, mom's going to die. Yeah. That'd be cool. Alright? Okay. Now, parents, I want you to watch something for a second. I'm going to ask a question, and then I just want you to look around the room and observe the response. You ready? Youth, who would like to share? By raising hands. Yep. Raise your hand if you're willing to share one of your dreams. So look around. Like, keep them up, keep them high if you're just willing to share. See? Do you see? Are you noticing this? It blew my mind the other day. We were in a session like this, and I'm like, all right, youth wants to share. They couldn't, like, I could have gone for a half an hour, 45 minutes. They're dying to share their dreams. Maybe not dying is the wrong word. They're like, I'm not desperate. But they want to share them. Okay? Let's hear one or two. Let's hear one or two just because it's fun. Actually, pause. Put your hands down. First, mom or dad, if you're sitting next to your child, I want you to turn and share one of yours first. I forgot to tell you how to respond when someone shares a dream. I did not train you well on that. Somebody was there last time. So this is how you do it. When someone shares a dream with you, the response, the only response is, wow, that's really good. That is really, really good. Okay, so I'm sorry to you. I realize I didn't set you up. Adults, just take two. Let's try it one more time. Ready, set, go. All right, youth, your turn. Again, adults, we expect the same level of noise. I want you to share, and I know there's some like sibling things going on, so we're going to take a little time. I want each person to share one dream, and again, she's giving me the 2-minute mark, so we'll wrap it quick. One thing, okay, that you want to share with your mom or dad, and your only response, mom and dad, is no fear leakage, only, wow, that's awesome, ready, set, go. It is so hard to cut out dream conversations for me. That's so hard. Let me close with this. I hope this is the start, not the end of a conversation. Okay? Can we let it be that? And you, again, the way you do it is on some, like, forlorn night, you just get a really serious look on your face, and you go find your mom late at night, or your dad, or both, and you just say, Mom, Dad, I really need to talk to you. And they will, like, panic. Right? Like, oh, no! Oh, no! Are you dead? What happened? And you walk and you say, I think it'd be best if we went and sat in the living room where it's quiet. Just really play it up. And then you go, I want to share my dreams with you. By the way, it works in reverse, but it's not nearly as cool. Where moms, dads, you can go to your youth and you can say, hey, Emily, we need to talk. Right, I'm just kidding. All right, so again, this is the beginning of the conversation, not the end. And I'm hoping you recognize, parents, the power that we can unlock and the depth of relationship we can unlock when you become the dream manager for your children. When you become the dream manager for your children, now I know this opens a million questions of like, well, what if they dream about something evil? How many of you, youth, how many of you put something evil on your list? Oh, boy. I was hoping no one would raise their hands. All right.
Sorry.
Can't be helped. But generally, it's nothing evil. It's nothing awful. Let's just say it has to be, it can't be illegal, immoral, unethical. Other than that, we're on board. Okay? There is nothing in the world that will be more fulfilling for you than watching your children fulfill their dreams, especially when you're invited to be a partner. I said earlier that the key to your children's hearts belongs to them. And in the end, they get to decide whether or not they're going to give it to you. Youth, your parents want more than anything for you to let them in. They do. They want more than anything for you to go, well, I'm dead. Here's the key. Come on in. And I'm hoping that today, in sharing a couple of dreams with each other, we can start at least that process or deepen that process of opening our hearts with each other. Will you do it? All right. I did this with the youth. We're not doing it with the adults. Is it a way to end? Everyone stand up. If you'll do it, but only if you'll do it, meaning I as a youth will open up a little bit to my parents and share dreams. I, as parents, will consider those things sacred, and I'll protect them, and I won't stomp on them and squish them like
grapes,
cockroaches. Why do you squish grapes? That's weird. All right, if you will do that, the correct response is yes. But the only thing is, it wouldn't make sense to say it to me. It would make sense to say it to who? To each other. So turn to your youths or your parents as best you can. Put your arms around it, and on the count of three, you're going to say the word yes if you're on board. Ready? One, two. No. Oh, good. Ready? One, two, three.
Yes!
Thank you guys. Have a great day.
Latter-day Saint Home Educators is a nonprofit, all-volunteer organization dedicated to providing inspiration to homeschool families. We hope you enjoyed this recording. If you are interested in listening to more recordings or would like to participate in a future conference, please visit our website at ldshe.org.